Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Absolutely jammed on a Tuesday. These shows are now easy, man. It's a layup now. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. Nick Nurse, coach of the Raptors, stopping by today, who my sources are telling me, Colin, that's the new best coach in the NBA. Other coaches stay up at night, look at their game film to copy stuff from Nick Nurse. Apparently, Nick got word of my compliments. My word travels to Canada. So he's on the show today. Joy Taylor is joining me. Well, it was Zion and Ja Morant. Oh, my.
It was a great game. I spent the entire day on the couch yesterday.
So did I.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
I was very close to digging into my second bag of Cheez-Its. I always have a backup bag.
It's the new normal.
I resisted. It's so great.
It is so great. Let me start with this. Zion Williamson is better than I thought. He's more impactful, and I thought he was going to be great. I told you he's going to be a top 20 player by the end of his first year. I loved him out of college. He didn't look like anybody else. The charisma, the style, the size, the power. He's better than I thought. He's more impactful. He's more powerful. He scores more easily. He's more efficient, he's a little better in transition, and he shoots better than I thought. It's similar to Andrew Luck. I loved Andrew Luck out of college. I told you Andrew Luck was going to be a star. He came into the league first year as a rookie, he was better than I thought. He threw for 4,400 yards, had 28 touchdowns, running or passing, led the NFL with 7 game-winning drives. Andrew Luck was better than I thought. Tom Brady was not athletic enough to go 11-5 with that Colts roster. 4,400 yards, 28 touchdowns, 7 game-winning drives. Andrew Luck was better than I thought. Tiger Woods was better than I thought. Tiger Woods won 3 straight amateurs. He was coming up. I was a sportscaster in Portland. I used to go golfing. I was into it, really into it then. People used to complain to me, all you talk about is Tiger. I'm like, no, no, no. He is going to be the greatest golfer of the next 50 years. There's going to be nobody like him. Tiger was better than I thought. He joined the tour in August of 96. He won the Masters in April of 97. And for the next 12 years, he literally was winning majors by like 8 strokes, 9, 10. Zion is better than I thought. He's averaging 22.5 points a game and shooting almost 60% from the field. Anthony Davis, rookie year, averaged 13. James Harden was on the bench. Russell Westbrook shot 39%, averaged 15. Kawhi averaged 8. Giannis averaged 7. He's shooting almost 60% from the field. He's averaging 22.5. And last night against Ja Morant, who was the better player? Who was the more impactful player? In fact, if you look at LeBron James' rookie year numbers, the chosen one, Zion's numbers are better in 10 less minutes on the floor. So he is significantly more efficient than LeBron James. And Ja Morant is going to be a Westbrook-level talent. Ja Morant's spectacular. He's Westbrook but can shoot. And if you go look at Ja Morant's numbers with the Grizzlies this year, offensive rating, net rating, plus minus, Memphis is pretty much the same team on the floor and off. If you look at Zion's numbers, and they have better players. They have better players than the Grizzlies. Offensive rating, net rating, and plus minus. Pelicans are a different team. It doesn't happen very often when I fall in love with a player and he exceeds expectations. There is no question. Andrew Luck, if you go back to that rookie year, how bad that football team was. They were atrocious. They had like a good corner, a kicker, and him. 4,400 yards, 23 passing, 5 rushing, 7 game-winning drives led the entire NFL. It led Aaron Rodgers. It led Brady. It led everybody. Zion's better than I thought. More forceful, more intimidating, more impactful, more charisma, scores more easily, better in transition slightly, and he can shoot. And it doesn't happen very often. Last night's another example. They decided, because of all the pressure, to go from 15 minutes to 25 minutes last night, and he was fantastic. Yes, he's not a great defender. Either is James Harden, Westbrook, and Steph. Come on. You can't hold. When these guys go from guarding high school to college to pros in 16 months, what do you think? He's going to be Kawhi? He's going to be Paul George? He's going to be Klay Thompson? He's going to be Giannis? No. But I'll tell you what, he's better than I thought. All right, so I have been known to be critical of Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packer quarterback, but I think he's been sensational. I think Aaron Rodgers has been absolutely sensational handling the Jordan Love situation. Jordan Love's a kid at Utah State, big talented quarterback. Packers move up in the first round of draft. You know, the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron has been unbelievable. And he was talking yesterday about COVID and you know, there's a Packer player that has opted out. And, you know, Aaron just talked about he's not going to do that. And, again, about his career right now.
You know, I savor every moment, every season. I don't take any of it for granted. I don't know, you know, what the future holds. I know I can control this year and my play and my approach and my attitude.
So here's what's interesting. In the story about Aaron Rodgers, I saw this little line. I yellowed it. Aaron Rodgers is going to be 37 in December. He's gotten old fast. And I'm left with a Super Bowl, a handful of division titles, and some hellaciously impressive throws. Why hasn't Brady aged this fast? I've got a theory. Now just think about this. Tom Brady's 43. Aaron's 37. Tom Brady feels like he's been around so long. I was watching him in high school. Tom Brady, not his rookie year, his first Super Bowl winning year. LeBron James was a junior in high school. Now we're asking, 17 years later, is LeBron too old to win a title? That was Tom Brady's, not his rookie year, his first Super Bowl year. Tom Brady's first Super Bowl year, Ichiro was the rookie of the year. Ichiro played forever in Seattle. He's been retired 2 years. Tom Brady now, fresh start, reboot in Tampa, and looks really good. The NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, the first year Tom Brady won a Super Bowl, Anthony Thomas Bears has been retired 13 years. Tom Brady feels like I've been watching him forever. Aaron Rodgers? His first division title in Green Bay was within this decade. It wasn't that long ago. Aaron Rodgers has become old really fast, and I have a theory on it. Aaron Rodgers broke into this league, and it was physical gifts that we paid attention to. His arm, his mobility, his feet, his release. He was physically special. When Brady, if you look at Brady's gifts, they've been efficiency, accuracy, pocket manipulation. They have not been physical. They've mostly been academic. They've been in the grind. And this is the difference between Tom Hanks and George Clooney. We never watched a movie because Tom Hanks was handsome. He's a good-looking guy. Wouldn't jump out if you were at a bar in Los Angeles. But we watch because of his values and this his moral compass and his connectability to average people. Tom Brady is still getting elite roles. We watched George Clooney. He was good looking, right? He was the heartthrob. When's the last movie he was in? When your gifts are physical, your prime is shorter. When your gifts are viewed as mental and refined, and efficiency and connectivity, you age very gracefully. Aaron was about the arm and the release and the feet, and he could move. But I watched Lamar Jackson. Hell, he ain't close to that. And I watched Patrick Mahomes and Carson Wentz, and damn, he ain't close to that. and I watch the slightly younger Russell Wilson and his evasiveness, and he's not close to that. I'm not sure he's Kyler Murray in certain departments. That Aaron's gifts were physical. The arm, the release, the feet, the mobility, the athletic ability. Tom's were not. Hank's were not. Aaron Rodgers is already 37. December. It's like, damn, that caught up to us fast. Think about the first time you saw Aaron Rodgers play. It doesn't feel like it was that long ago. He kind of looks the same, to be honest with you. Tom Brady, again, Ichiro was rookie of the year. Not even Tom's first year in the league, his first Super Bowl. Ichiro was rookie of the year, retired. LeBron was a junior in high school. Not even a senior, not even a Cav. It is, I think that's why Brady ages so gracefully and why certain actors do. If you depend on looks, there's going to be somebody better looking tomorrow. If you depend on speed, there's going to be somebody faster very soon. But if it's smarts and efficiency and gracefulness and the grind and manipulation of the play pre-snap and in the pocket, it's amazing how gracefully you last. Good stuff coming up. So Lakers clinched the number one seed in the West. Of course, it means nothing because they're playing in a bubble in Florida. But some thoughts on a player not named LeBron that Laker fans are counting on to win a title, and I just can't go there. Doug Gottlieb this hour, the brilliant GM of the Colts, Chris Ballard, next hour.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Sports are back. Your home's never been, with COVID, more of a sanctuary. That's where Lowe's comes in. Bar carts, home do-it-yourself projects. Joy saying yesterday, me included, stayed home all day and watched sports and did stuff around the house. Go to Lowe's.com, hashtag Lowe's goals, relax, some do-it-yourself projects, do it at home. So the Lakers beat the Jazz last night, watched all of it, clinched the number one seed in the West. Pretty amazing for LeBron considering all the new pieces around him and his new position. The story of the game was Anthony Davis, who was remarkable. He often is, 42 points and 12 rebounds. Here's the thing with AD. I know he's talented, but my question is, what's going to happen in the fourth quarter against the Clippers? Four times this year, I saw what happened. 10 total points, four separate fourth quarters against the Clippers. They do this thing in the NBA every year, NBA.com. It's the anonymous general manager survey, and I love it. If you were starting a franchise today, who is the player you would pick? This year it's Giannis. Last year it's Giannis. The year before that it was Karl Anthony Towns. The year before that it was Karl Anthony Towns. And then it was Anthony Davis. Three playoff series wins. You keep telling me these bigs are going to dominate, and I don't buy it. Number one, two reasons. I don't buy Anthony Davis controlling the league. I think increasingly the league is dominated by guys with the ball. Wing players, perimeter players, guys who shoot threes and have the ball. LeBron and Kawhi and Steph, and when he's healthy again, KD. That, to me, is what dominates the league going forward. But number two, and I don't think there's anything you can do about this. You are what your personality is, and most psychologists will tell you by 9 years old, your personality is set. There'll be slight variations, but by 9 years old, if you're intense, you're intense. And I'll give you an example. AD is chill. AD is talented. He's got no dog. He's not going to develop that. And that's what wins in the playoffs. Day one in the NBA, Magic Johnson had leadership DNA. He had it through his career. He has it now in Los Angeles. He is the Midas touch for every athlete that comes to Los Angeles. He's a business leader. He is a sports leader. LeBron James, first day in the NBA, rookie. He was a leader. Michael Jordan, first day. Kobe, first day. Relentless. Michael, I watched this documentary, is still competitive and relentless. He's been out of the league for 20 years. Dennis Rodman was quirky and intense. Shaq was funny, joyful, playful, and kind of cocky. That stuff is formed when you're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. You can change your jumper. I'll tell you one of the things that bothers me about Ben Simmons. His jumper could get better if he really committed to it. I think what I see, though, that I don't love, he's a little aloof. He's kind of detached. I don't like that for my leader. I don't. Steph Curry, engaged, totally engaged with all his teammates. You know, Chris Paul is a guy I loved at Wake Forest. Chris Paul screams leadership. He's a pain in the butt. Players complain about him. But let's be honest. The Clippers were a joke. He got there. They were a playoff team. Oklahoma City's supposed to be in the tank. Did you watch him? Did you watch the last 25 games? This may have been the most impressive leadership of Chris Paul's career. Chris Paul doesn't have a big vertical. Chris Paul's had injuries. Chris Paul shoots the mid-range. Chris Paul's a leader. And by the way, leaders piss people off. Like, your DNA is your DNA, and it had a lot to do more with where you grew up and your parents and your upbringing. I don't see radical shifts off that. And AD, to me, is awesomely talented, really chill, not a lot of dog, and that's the stuff I care about with 4 minutes left. That's what I care about. Last night, he was great. He's great all the time. I mean, you get him low block, you know, first of all, he's very good defensively, and then you get him low block, and he gets that butt on you in his length and his style. It's really hard to stop. I mean, last night, you know, Gobert plays for the Jazz. Great defense. I mean, Anthony can just, he can humiliate you. He can really just roll up on you and humiliate you. But I don't see that quality that Kobe had. I don't see that quality LeBron has had, the leadership, the closing, the intensity. I don't see it. What I see is a remarkably gifted basketball player. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Tom Brady was on the field today for his first Bucs practice.
Oh, let me see.
It was open to the media.
Oh, my God. Time out. Hold on, Joy. I'm losing my breath.
It's there he goes. He's
doing
the hip thing. It's a little different than Dak's hip thing. It's still a little...
Look, he looks tall and valiant.
He looks tall? He grew?
Look at him. God, he's just...
He looks like Tom Brady at training camp.
I don't know. This looks different,
Florida.
Joy.
It's in different
look
colors.
Look at Joy. Look at the step. Look at the pop in the step.
Well, he obviously has a lot of good chemistry with his new teammates.
The crispness on that slant pattern.
Yes, it's very... It's very revealing in camp. He was spotted shouting some encouragement to his receivers giving LeSean McCoy a hug and a fist bump to Mike Evans. So it's apparent at this point in camp, everybody's getting along. We haven't gotten to the camp fights yet.
I'm going to move back to Tampa.
Yeah? Tampa is...
hot.
It's a bit hot right now. If you're going to move to Tampa, but maybe you want to make that move in December.
You put this on film. I'll tell you this again. If you put this on a network, I have it on all day. If you give me 90 minutes of Bucs practice, I would sit and watch that thing all day long. Am I nuts? Would too.
No. I mean, people go to training camp. Fans, when in normal times,
get our
people
boss,
go to training camp.
Get our bosses on the line. Just set up a camera on Tom. I'll sit and watch for 2 hours.
Hello, bosses. We'd like to watch Bucs training
put
camp.
Put a helicopter over that puppy.
Well, they do have the helicopters circling. I mean, people do go, fans go to training camp all the time. I mean, if you're local media, you'll be at training camp. So people do go watch training camp. It's not far-fetched to actually air it.
Oh, the zip on that
ball.
What's
he supposed to look like?
Oh, my God, not like that. It's an Adonis.
He's supposed to just be out there with a cane or something? He does look a little different in Tampa, though.
A little slender.
He's got the Florida tan.
Little Ybor City hop in his step.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, so this was big news yesterday. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is part of the investor group that has agreed to buy the XFL for roughly $15 million.
I love this.
The group also includes The Rock's longtime business partner and ex-wife, Danny Garcia, who first approached him with the idea. The two teamed up with Jerry Cardinal of Redbird Capital to submit the bid, which is expected to be approved later this week. Garcia says all three will be involved, very involved in the league, and are working on plans to play next season.
I love Dana White loved this too, because Dana knows the whole story. Dana, people forget this. The UFC got kicked around a lot.
Right.
The Fertittas came in with Dana White, bought it for $12 million. It was not easy. They had to get advertisers. They had to shift the rules a little bit, take out this gouging and that gouging. Dana White, that was a fight. The Fertitta family for 12 years. They sold it for $4 billion. You look at the end with UFC and you're like, oh, everybody loves it. It was really bumpy for several years.
And people did not really approve of the product overall.
And then the women started fighting. A lot of people pushed back in the media. And now it's like some of the best fights are in that division. So UFC and Dana White are the prime example of this is not an elegant, easy, without obstacle run.
Well, it's a startup. You have to be fully invested. And, you know, The Rock is originally a football guy. So it's an amazing story, too.
Good dude.
Play with the Canes.
This is
not
great.
Make it in the NFL, become the world's most famous wrestler, in my opinion.
Rock,
and
don't run for president. You're too joyful and happy.
Listen,
that's a miserable position.
I think we've figured out now that our best and brightest are not necessarily going into politics.
That's
right. I mean, I would not want to drag my family or myself through that kind of process when I could just, you know, get together with my business partners and buy the XFL. Assuming that the sale goes through, Danny Garcia will actually be the first woman to own an equal or majority ownership stake in a major professional sports league in the United States.
That's his ex-wife?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're business partners on a lot of things.
That's nice.
Yeah. Their oldest daughter together.
That's nice. And they're friends now.
Yeah, and both remarried.
Well, that's
what wealthy people do. They keep the money in the family.
And adults, hopefully.
Yes. Finally, the Big 12 is the last Power 5 conference to announce their plans for the 2020 season. They will play a 10-game season with 9 conference games and 1 non-conference game. Conference play does not have an official start date yet, but is expected to begin mid to late September after the non-conference game. The plan also gives the Big 12 the flexibility to move back the championship game from December 5th to the 12th or the 19th if necessary. So there's a lot of flexibility depending on what happens during the season. The ACC is the only other Power 5 conference to keep a non-conference game this year. September is not that far away, though. Like, we're talking about mid-September when it comes to college football starting. That's in a month and a half.
You know, it's interesting. I don't have that many media friends because the media tends to be too negative and snarky for me. Most of what has happened during COVID for sports is jaw-droppingly effective. I mean, we've had successful.
Successful, yeah.
Golf, NASCAR, UFC, NBA, NHL, by the way, 800 tests, no pot. 99%
MLS.
Of what happened has been unbelievable.
Yep.
And baseball's had a couple of outbreaks. In the long run, it's the really good teams that have a chance to win, they're not having the outbreaks. They know, stay away. But people come up and ask me all the time, what do you think is going to happen to college football? And Joy, I say, big question mark outside of the SEC. I don't know. I think the SEC is going to bulldoze their way through it, and they don't care. But when people ask me about college football, it is a total fingers-crossed situation.
Well, I think the main unknown with college football is because they have not elected you to be the commissioner of college football.
Thank you.
They're the president. I don't know which title you wanted. But there is no governing body.
No centralized.
Obviously, the NCAA, we know that. But there's no centralized commissioner, everybody's, president of college football.
Everybody's doing their own thing.
And makes their own decisions.
It's balkanized. It's
yes.
Like everybody's doing their own little island thing. And what is the... So to me... I love college football. We both love college football. It's just fingers crossed. Everything else I think is working. Even the baseball stuff, people are freaking out. It's like, folks, the Yankees don't have an issue. The Twins don't have an issue. The Dodgers and Cubs don't have an issue.
I've seen what these leagues have done, and they've figured it out. I mean, it's not like they're like waiting until September 1st to start making plans. They're working on it, and we are all, you know, at the mercy of what's going on, which is out of our control. But they're going to figure it out.
Yeah, good stuff. Joy with the news. Good updates.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Man, good show today. I got all my buddies on. Nick Nurse of the Raptors is on later. Doug Gottlieb, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, The Best or Nothing, is joining us. Does a radio show on Fox Sports Radio after ours. So let me start with the AD thing. I mean, he's amazing. I mean, last night I watched the whole thing. I mean, he can just embarrass you. It's very hard to stop. But Doug, you played college basketball. You still play basketball. You can change elements of your game slightly, but guys are what they are. The guys that lead, the guys that are tough, it's hard to go from tough to finesse. You are what you are. When I watch AD, I see unbelievable talent, but I don't see a take a game over 4 minutes left guy in the playoffs. I haven't his entire career. And I know that comes off as harsh, but is it fair?
It's absolutely fair. And I think LeBron knows it. And I think Of the things that LeBron has accomplished leading his team, being the one seed in the West actually pales in comparison to what he's done to build up Anthony Davis's confidence in these situations. You're right. Now, in fairness, he hasn't been in the situations at this level of the NBA. When he's been in the playoffs, he's kind of disappeared previously, but he was kind of the lone wolf at times when he's in New Orleans. So your analysis is correct. He doesn't really have that dog in him. But here's the parallel, okay? And late Kobe Bryant told me this I'll never forget it. And he said, you know, when Pau Gasol came to play for the Lakers, the reputation of Pau Gasol was he was Euro soft, right? He could be a tough guy in the regular season. You get down to the postseason, and he didn't have it. And then, of course, he wins a couple championships with Kobe Bryant, and he's one of his favorite teammates ever and was seen as a great competitor. So that's the challenge to LeBron James. And I think you've seen this process build the entire season where LeBron has tried to get him going. And if you watch, you know, early in the year when they lost to the Clippers, the coaching staff broke down the film and like, look, AD disappeared. He has an advantage, especially against Clippers inside. Now, last night he was more outside because when he was playing five and he had Rudy Gobert guarding the bucket. But you're right in your analysis. The Lakers know it. LeBron knows it. He's trying to get, and that's the big challenge for Anthony Davis once we get into postseason play.
All right, I'm gaga on Zion. You know, listen, I get this way. You know, I've been covering this for a long time, so when I get these rare, these Tiger Woods, these Andrew Lucks, these Patrick Mahomes, it's so fun because, Doug, we just don't – we get maybe two a decade where you get these, like, all-time players. I love Zion. But I know you're saying to yourself, Colin, pump the brakes a little. What concerns you with Zion Williamson today?
He just consistently falls out of shape way too quickly. That's really it. I mean, if you watched, last night there's some jaw-dropping plays, but there's no ability, maybe desire, but ability to play defense because it exhausts him. So, look, he's playing the five. He's an undersized five like no one's ever seen in terms of explosiveness. Obviously, he's got to develop a jump shot. I think it's reasonable to think his shot's not broken. All the volume of shots, eventually you'll have to guard him out to three-point range. Right now, you do not. But his body concerns me. You know, he cannot play long stretches now. He cannot play long, you know, consecutive games without getting hurt previously in his career. Happened at Duke, happened in the Summer League, happened earlier in the NBA. So his body, and I understand that he had to take time away from the bubble to tend to a family matter, but that didn't mean that he couldn't go running. That didn't mean that he couldn't monitor his diet because he has not looked nearly ready in terms of his physical condition. I know everybody's going off an Instagram picture where he's yoked. Like, dude's yoked. He's football strong. He's thick, but he appears to his body. He's got what they call the fat gene in the NBA. Like Darren Williams used to have this, right? Where if you don't play basketball for like 5 days, all of a sudden you're like, damn, what happened to this dude?
Yeah.
He's still a great athlete, but the injury risk, the thought of planting and something going wrong really alarms me. I like everything else except for maybe the sudden lack of desire to play defense.
Yeah. So I was saying this morning. I think Aaron Rodgers has really handled himself well with the Jordan Love stuff. He's been really smart, really an adult, no passive aggressive. He's been upfront totally. The Packers haven't, but Aaron's been great. But this morning it was funny. I was looking at a story on Aaron, and it says he's 37 in December. And I'm like, I feel like I've been watching Tom Brady. I mean, Ichiro was rookie of the year. LeBron was a junior in high school. Yeah. And Aaron's gotten sneaky old fast.
Yeah.
And I was like, and the analogy I use is the Hanks Clooney. When looks are the driving force, Tom, you age fast because there's always a better looking guy, Ryan Gosling, right, than Clooney. But with Hanks, it was never about that. So he's aged so gracefully. And I look at Aaron right now, and he doesn't run like Lamar. He doesn't play like Wentz or Mahomes at his best. He feels like he's sneaky old to me. 37 in December. Does he to you?
Yeah. But I would also think that this is part of what's happened with Tom Brady. It's part of what's happened with Drew Brees, is that they've you know, 40 is the new 30, so to speak. I'm going to disagree with you in terms of how everything's been handled. I like Aaron. I consider him a friend. And I understand that he emotionally feels like they're coming for his job. No one on earth thinks Jordan Love will be ready to play this year, let alone next year. And if you have no preseason this year, he's not going to play under center for the Green Bay Packers unless it's week 17 and they don't need Aaron Rodgers to play, right? And even then, he's not gonna play in the first 2 years. So that would take him to where he's 38, going to be 39. And it's reasonable for any football franchise to have a backup plan, to have a succession plan when a guy is 39 years old. Right? And this is a very specific, and he in his interview with Good Morning Football, you know, he's like, look, the situation, the circumstances aren't the same. Brett talked about retirement. I don't want to retire. Like, Look, the whole move to get Jordan Love makes sense. They don't need a quarterback, but they do need a succession plan in case he continues on a downward trend. Now, here's where I'll disagree with you. I saw the NFL rankings, top 100 players, like, is laughable.
Yeah.
Right? Mahomes is the best player in the league. Russ Wilson is considered the second best quarterback in the league. And Aaron Rodgers is the third best quarterback in the league. And in all honesty, if you wouldn't take Deshaun Watson ahead of Lamar Jackson for a season, for one game, I don't know what you're watching. And I think Lamar Jackson has far exceeded anybody's reasonable expectations, but he's going to have to show the ability to throw the football, when it's third in California or when they get behind the playoffs, which he is not. All the rest have. So I'm not as down on Aaron in terms of his present or his future as maybe you are, but I also think it's completely reasonable for the Green Bay Packers to look for a succession plan. Because as you pointed out, like when you tell people he's going to be 37, and if you cut out the outlier is Tom Brady. Like what Tom Brady has done is literally has never been done in the NFL before. And even Tom Brady showed great signs of age over the past two seasons. Drew Brees did as well. And you're playing in the cold of Green Bay. It's completely reasonable. And I don't, the Hanks thing and the Clooney thing, whatever. He's aged relatively gracefully. He's had some injuries along the way. The Packers have screwed it up. They choked away that one game in Seattle. But it's reasonable to have a succession plan, whether he's Hanks or Clooney in this analogy.
I think it was pretty good right there. By the way, I don't want to go too far in the weeds on this, but I was telling Joy is that the commissioners of these leagues have done a better job than a lot of the governors. I think UFC and golf have been great. MLS, NBA bubbles, hockey bubbles been, from what I haven't watched yet, but very good. The draft, free agency, I'm kind of blown away by everything. I think baseball's been good, but the Marlins and the Cardinals, guys made poor decisions. The good teams haven't. But the question mark sport for me is really college football. You love it. Joy loves it. I love it. Today, Doug, we're going to have college football.
I believe we are. I believe there'll be a substantial number of players that opt out. I talked to a college basketball coach this weekend. And what he said was, and this is, my point has always been, you're safer in whatever bubble environment on campus than you are off campus. And it's not because you have a complete sealed up bubble like you do in the NBA, which is the safest, but it's because at least the coach has some form of control. You have doctors and the ability to test people. When you're at home, everybody's running free. The problem is the liability, okay? I don't think any college coach or administrator ever wants to put a player in a position where they could die.
Yeah.
But they also don't want that blood on their hands. That brings down not just their program, but the entire sport. And that's what leads everybody to being hesitant. I have a niece who's off to the SEC. 30% of their classes are online at Auburn. 70% are in person. So they're going back to school. I understand this idea that you can't trust young people to follow whatever protocols you want. The problem is you also can't trust them when they're at home either. That also applies if they stay home and we don't
That's
have
fair.
It.
That's fair. Yeah.
And so, look, I think they're going to have it. I do think that money is a big motivator. And I think that if the players are there and the students are not, I think it's a much safer bubble.
Yeah.
And everybody's taking classes online. Nothing really changes. I think they're going to have it. I just don't know if all the star players will play. A lot of the guys that are opting out are doing so because they want to protect their draft stock, not truly because of their health. I don't actually believe that they believe they're unhealthy.
All right. Good stuff.
I got one more thing for you. Got one more thing for you.
All right.
How come Frank Vogel hasn't gotten any discussion of Coach of the Year?
Because Nick Nurse and Billy Donovan have shocked us. So in most years, Vogel would get it. I just think what Nick Nurse has done is ridiculous.
Well, Nick, I played for Nick. He was an assistant coach in the USBL. Okay, he was a head coach in England, and he was our assistant coach in Enid. He is a brilliant coach, dude from Iowa, who he worked his way up the ladder. And I agree that he, to me, and Frank Vogel, remember, Vogel took over an absolute dumpster fire. He was their second choice. They wanted Ty Lue to be the coach. And then everybody said, oh, Jason Kidd is the assistant coach. He'll get the job midseason. They have the best record in the NBA. And and I think Billy's done a great job. And it's really hard to argue with Nick Nurse didn't even get it. And he probably should have. But I do think that Vogel should be in that conversation. But congrats to Nick Nurse. That team is so well coached.
Oh, my God.
To watch them eviscerate the Lakers defense the other night was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, he is really sharp. He's on our show today. The Duggar, Doug Gottlieb, thanks, buddy. Coming up next, what if you didn't save for retirement? You wake up, you're 64 years old, you want to retire, and you don't have the funds. You take some big risks to catch up. And that's what an NFL team did again. Or may do again. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
You know what I think is going to be a thing in America I'm really doing now? Bring a sandwich to work, brown bag it. I really like that because we can't have food services here. And I'm starving during the show. I brown bag it. I bring my own sandwiches.
You have to eat.
All day.
All day.
All day long.
Do you not eat a big breakfast?
No. I just have to eat all day, every 2 hours. I'm not diabetic or anything. It's just
you're a grazer.
All day long. Don't like big meals.
You always have snacks. Yes, I eat a big breakfast, so I very rarely get hungry during the show.
Yeah, I had last night, I had two pieces of salmon. 2 hours later, bowl of cereal with blueberries. Boom, that's dinner. That's how I eat. That's the only way. Doctors say I'm going to live to be 100.
Doesn't your stomach hurt mixing all that stuff?
I don't know, not really. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I guess you've been doing it forever, so it's probably used to it now.
My stomach's just, it's like, oh, here's wackadoo having salmon at 3 and cereal at 4:40. Stomach's gotten used to it. So I've seen this happen, actually, to people in life. You don't save as much as you should, and you get to retirement, and you're like 64, and you want to play golf and travel, and you don't have enough money. And then to make up for it, you get reckless and take some big swings and get swindled. And your retirement's really sad. Sometimes sports teams can do this. When they don't pay attention to the details, you see this from bad organizations. They take big swings on players to make up for crappy drafts. Seattle is not a bad organization, but they have deteriorated in recent years. Their offense and defensive line play is not good and not close to in-division rival San Francisco. Story yesterday, the Seahawks are looking at Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon. You just gave away two firsts, a third, and a starting safety for Jamal Adams. A safety. These feel like big swings, potentially reckless, because you haven't done a good job in the draft in recent years. The Niners in division, last two first-round picks under John Lynch. Nick Bosa, A+, Mike McGlinchey, A. Seattle's two first-round picks, Rashad Penny appears to be a bust, at least for a first-rounder, and A.J. Collier ain't much either. Plus, you gave away two firsts and a third and a starting safety for Jamal Adams. By the way, in division, San Francisco's loaded and rolling. The Rams in their off year were 9-7, and Arizona's no fun to play. Should be noted the Seahawks also get both Eastern teams this year out of division, so they got to go to Philly and Washington and Buffalo and Miami and mix in and add Atlanta. They will travel further by a mile more than any team in the NFL. If you don't invest smartly and you end up close to retirement, you end up taking generally some big swings. And they always tell you in investing, hit doubles after 55. Take your big swings if you're going to take them early. These feel reckless. It's Seattle trying to make up ground. Listen, Josh Gordon, there's talent there, but not dependable. Antonio Brown, really? I mean, DK Metcalf, Lockett, Russell Wilson, receivers not your primary need. Unless, of course, you believe in division, you're the third most talented roster than you do. All right, good stuff today. Chris Ballard, very smart general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, is going to stop on by. Tom Penn, co-owner LAFC and former NBA GM. Nick Nurse of the Raptors stops by as well. You know, I'm from the Pacific Northwest, so people think I am down. You know, whenever I'm critical of my teams, you know, in the Northwest, they're like, why are you critical? I wasn't critical of Seattle until about a year and a half ago. And now you start digging deep on this thing, and it's like, come on, let's get an offense that looks like 2020. The offensive line is bad again. The defensive line's deteriorated. Jamal Adams feels like a big swing to me. They gave up too much, and I think this stuff feels reckless. Just get the draft right. That's better. Okay. Oh, coming up next, We have to just acknowledge something that happened last night and how truly impressive it is. Even if you don't want to admit it, you got to take a deep breath, admit you're wrong, and go, that's amazing. Hour two next.